This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Joining us on the podcast right now is one of our very, very good friends. He is Mr. Projections, as we've called him. He is Ariel Cohen, ATC, Beat the Shift, all the stuff, all the things, and he's on the podcast with us right now. Ariel, what is up, my friend?
I am doing good. How are you, Chris and Scott?
We are alive. We are living. we are alive human beings, which is all that we can account for right now, praying to the baseball gods that we will have baseball soon. We need it when that horrible, monstrosity, disgusting pigskin sport is still out there doing awful things to people, and we're just waiting.
Welsh
for
is a Niners fan, if you didn't know that.
I don't want to hear it. Football. It's stinky football. Basketball is unwatchable right now. Ariel watches hockey, but I don't. I need baseball, Ariel. Where is it?
God bless America for that. And it sounds like a bunch of jilted football people who didn't have their teams going. That's all I'm saying there.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're not wrong.
Couldn't be.
But yeah, no, so excited for baseball. I'm optimistic that they'll get the labor disputes done. I mean, they're talking now. It seems like every other day. And I think on the main issues, they're really there. And it's literally just about money, and money can be bridged, you know?
Yeah, you would think so. It sounds like a lot of the logistical, like DH type of things have been figured out, and whatever they're going to do with, I presume, an international draft that's going to come up, and they will get it going. One of the difficult things that could be had in this is projecting with a potential strike season. And that could be something that could come into play in our conversation here. There's so many things to come into our conversation here, from potential strike issues and what role that could come in, from COVID years being intertwined in some of that, you know, that space of creating projections, to also just that, you know, that spoken word that Bogman has sometimes of just not liking projections. You know, some people just don't like projections. What? Well, when they are the gospel, I mean, that's the big thing. How much do you run into that? Because I, for one, still, I'm a little bit weary when, so you've never had this, and I've actually always loved that about you, Ariel, is when we've talked to you, you've actually done a really good job of always being able to kind of separate projections, and you've even told us so much so that you're like, well, this is what the projection spits out. I don't like these things personally, and I make these changes for my own type of stuff, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of people out there that live and die and breathe by a projection system, and we've come across them so many times that their argument is well, that is what the projection puts out. And
right.
That leaves a lot to be desired in the human element of baseball, that I think that's always been Bogman's take on. Specifically, we had a guy we used to like work with where it was like, oh, so what's the reason behind that? It's like, well, that's just what the projection spit out. And it's like, what? Like,
yeah,
there's nothing else?
I mean, there's two things to say about that. First of all, number one, you know, I'd rather be in camp of completely following projections rather than not looking at projections at all, because they're designed and they're formulaic and they've been researched that in the long run, they are the best bet. If you're going to be gambling, I would bet on the projection, right? It's the best bet. And the human eye is not as good as projecting as the computer. It's just not. Playing time is something else, right? I mean, if you know a situation better, you're going to make a much better estimate you could make a better estimate than the computer. But in terms of rates, home run, power, skill, computers are better in general. So I'd rather be in the full projection camp than the not. But the other thing I'll say is, whether you actually use numbers or not, you're making a projection. If you're ranking somebody, you're saying, I think this guy's going to have more statistics than the other guy. So
right.
you don't even realize it, but you're making a determination yourself. So, you know,
my whole thing isn't that I dislike projections. I think, you know, very smart people like yourself and others make these systems and we should be paying attention to them. I don't like it when anyone uses one thing as gospel. That's all. Whether it's a list of one person that they like, or, you know, a projection system that they like. That's my whole thing, is I like to have all the tools in the tool bag than say,
sure,
this is my one tool. I'm going to use this hammer to do anything. If I need a screwdriver, absolutely, I've got this hammer. If I need a nail, I've got this hammer. If I need to cut something, I've got this hammer, right? Like, you have one tool in your toolbox. Why not have all of them? That's all that I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, no, for sure. And by the way, ATC actually, you're not just getting one tool, you're getting a multi-knife here.
It's a Swiss Army knife right here.
It's a Swiss Army knife, because ATC is saying, let's take a little steamer, let's take a little bit of the bat, let's take a little some other random online
source
you probably have never heard of. And,
for ATC, right, Ariel? That's
no,
like,
well,
look, you combined all the tools.
Slices,
one, right,
it slices. It dices.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's what it is. And you know what? The other thing I say is that projections do some things well and projections don't do some things well. And if you know what the blind spots are, projections, then you can fill in the rest of the gaps yourself. So I think it is a tool, and you got to do a lot of things at once. And projections are not just one. They're the biggest part, to be honest with you, but they aren't just the one and only thing you should look at.
Yeah. And there's a lot of fun stuff with it. I agree. I'm very interested in the statistical run of it. I don't particularly love projections for games played. I kind of ignore that almost as a whole, but that doesn't mean, you know,
Buxton has 140. Is that
right? I love that. I'm very much on the side of that. But I mean, you know, a prime example, what I thought was really interesting, where you can just, you know, throw games played aside. I just think it's worthless in projections, but taking what they do based on games and the number that spits out, ATC had Seiya Suzuki at like 34 games, which is ridiculous, of course. But look at the numbers. I think it was 34 games, 6 homers over that. So then just play your simple math and you can go, right, oh, okay, well, actually, ATC is like very much in on this guy if he does play an entire season through. So that's a way you
Suzuki,
kind of approach.
I mean, Suzuki is right now, that's just a here's a
marker. Sure.
He's probably going to sign.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Year. So I would not take anything out of that other than homers per game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
There's a lot of stuff to talk about in here. In a little bit, we've actually got, it's a really great chart that Bogman put together of some big differences between Steamer, ATC, and the Bat X, Derek Carty's. And what's fun about that, of course, is ATC is like an aggregate projection system. So it's going to kind of play the middle. But there are some guys that really kind of pop off between the three projections that we are going to look at differences on. But one thing I've always liked about this episode, we did it kind of in its first iteration we ever did this. There's like it's like a series we've done over 3 or 4 years. And one of the first series was kind of dedicated more to someone that wanted to make their own projections. I remember we spent that episode, I want to say it was with Rob Silver, if I remember correctly,
yes, Boggs. Yeah.
It was with Rob Silver like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was about creating your own projection systems. And it was a very good conversation around the worthwhileness of it. If you know what I mean, like it being worth, or it being worthwhile to even do. So that's kind of where I want to start with this is, Ariel, do you think it is worthwhile for people to dabble in their own projections at this point? Or are there enough good and effective systems that really it is a waste? I know plenty of people that have some baseline stuff that they do and they kind of work off of. And yes, it gives them the ability to maybe make their own changes on dollar values or games played or whatnot. But do you think we're just so far along that you would deter anybody from doing anything themselves?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think it's up to the individual person. If they think that making a projection system is fun, then by golly, go ahead and do it. There's always something to gain. There's always going to be some statistic that maybe ATC doesn't account for as much or the bat doesn't account for that might actually lead to something. On the whole, I probably think that you're not going to gain very much for the time you're going to put in to create an entirely new projection system. I think for the average person, unless you're going to market this and somehow sell your projection system or somehow use it to win oodles amount of money in the NFBC or gambling or something, you're better off just taking a projection system and going off of that, saying, okay, what can I do better? And finding something and just modifying it. Or to be honest, look at the playing time and modify the playing time yourself. That's going to give you more bang for the buck. Yeah, you can make your own projection system, but you're not going to do a whole lot better than what I did, I'm saying. And maybe I'm wrong, but for the casual person who's playing in a league, it's probably not worth it.
Interesting. Okay. Boggs, you want to jump in on the others?
Yeah, I mean, what if someone was going to do that, if they were going to dive in, what tips would you give them for some of like the basic framework and like they laid out a 3-year average? What do you do? What do you think you would do after that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Derek Hardy says this, and I'll quote him. There are three basic parts to a projection system. One is averaging of the years that you just said. And of course, you want to average the most recent year more and take less weight of the year 3 years ago. Right. You want to do a nice weighted average. You got to be able to do aging curves and be able to take what a player has done and say, hey, listen, if he's 25 years old, going to be 26. Well, that's going to better skills. And if he's going from age 33 to 34, that's going to be worse skills. And you have to be able to age somebody properly. And you have to deal with something called regression to the mean, where just because a player did really well last year doesn't mean he's going to do that again. He's more than likely going to regress to some kind of league average. So if you take those three things, you'll be off to a good projection system, I think.
Okay, that's a good thing for someone to kind of work with if they really wanted to get into that. Because I know, like, as much as you can deter some people, they're not going to. They're going to want to have their hand in it and play with it, and it's fine. And, you know, I've kind of dabbled in that area, but there's just so much good out there that's already, you know, done. You know, your time is better spent sometimes in other places. So here's a big one, though. And this is kind of digging into just projections in general. Do you think the rule of the 3 years is working great right now with the COVID half season and even last year? I'm really curious about, you know, what approach you've taken. Obviously, I mean, the COVID season is just like almost just like it's a little anomaly that sits out there. But even into last year, I think there's some stuff into last year that coming off of COVID that's got to be weighted differently. So did you approach at all the 3-year curve differently? I know you say you wait the most recent year, but I think it's trickier than it's ever been before. I think rookies are going to, if that's the case, I think rookies are going to be misprojected across the board. You know, the guys that struggled last year, all of them, by the way, except if you weren't named Wander Franco. So like, how did you treat the average with the COVID season and even last year? Any differently?
Yeah, well, first of all, we should also point out that the last 3 years, even 2019, had problems. You know, you have the home run ball, where 2019, all of a sudden, the ball is flying. So the whole baseball run environment is totally different then. And players who are hitting home runs then may not be hitting home runs today because they're hitting the just-if homers that just made it over the wall, where with a ball that doesn't travel as far, they're just a regular guy who the ball's going to be caught at the warning track. So there are issues with every year. You have the COVID year, you have coming back, the fact that there was no minors. That's
sticky halfway through last year.
Sticky stuff last year. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that makes the data itself of 2019 to 2021 really, really hard to do. I have not really found a really great way to deal with that that is revolutionary of, oh, my God, if you only took this percentage of that year, that solved the whole thing. There's nothing you can do. All you can do is say that we know that projections this year are going to be a little bit less certain because of uncertainty in the last 3 years. I have not changed any of my formulas. Now, remember, I don't really directly do some of this stuff because I aggregate some other projections.
Sure. Right.
I did take a look at rookies, though. You mentioned rookies. So ATC has a slightly different weighting of the projections for rookies. So I did take a look at that to see if I could gain anything. Turns out I really didn't move the weights very much from what I historically did. So the answer is I really didn't do anything different. And I don't think there's anything you can do, really.
What, if anything, like you said, there may be nothing for this either, but if these labor negotiations don't pan out and there's less spring training time, is there any way to bake that in if the guys only get 2.5-3 weeks to fire up and then they want to start the season at the regular time or pushing the season back? Like, is there anything you would potentially change or you would see changing in projection systems for that?
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to make that, you know, if pitchers have a bit longer, a shorter ramp-up period, that maybe the month of April they're going to have some higher ERAs until they get settled. That's probably true for everybody. And, you know, if I'm projecting, I'm projecting more relative player to player, so probably not going to deal with that. The one thing that would happen, though, is there are players who are injured from prior years who, like, take Ronald Acuna. His value goes up tremendously if April is nixed because of labor.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. Yeah, because he's on the same stable flooring as everybody else.
Correct. And Ramon Laureano goes the other way because Laureano is going to be suspended for the first whatever number of games. Now,
it doesn't matter when they start. Yeah.
Well, it does matter. It matters because the later it starts, the more percentage of the year is suspended for him.
Yeah, yes.
So his value goes lower. So the playing time has to be accounted for injuries and suspensions. But overall skills, aside from those pitchers that I mentioned, you know, you wouldn't really do much.
Gotcha.
Did you see, you know, something I remember we talked about? I mean, God, you got to forgive me. Over the last 2 years, I want to say, like, you were the number one accurate 1 year, and I think Cardi was bat X was the number one in 1 year, if I'm remembering correctly.
Nope. Just
was
me.
Was it just ATC? Okay. All right. Well,
Ariel remembers.
Ariel will remember. Ariel always has receipts. You're 100% right about that. Okay. So then let me ask it like this. Did you see, and I don't know if you look at it like this, did you see less accuracy in projections this year than maybe in previous years due to the volatility? Or maybe it's inverse. I just wonder if this last past season was the least accurate of projections maybe in the last couple of years.
Yes. No, that definitely is correct that, okay. You will see a difference that this past year was definitely more volatile. And, you know, I do the projections accuracy myself in terms of game theory. And there was definitely more profit lost from the draft rounds than before. Like, you're making more use of the waiver wire to float in people than what you would have drafted, because the projections obviously weren't as good and there were situations that were not as clear. So yeah, the short answer is absolutely it's true.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
In the COVID season, we came off the COVID season into new projections, into a regular season, and then we saw the least accurate. I think by virtue of that, you're probably going to see an uptick. Like, is there like a quantifiable number? Was it like substantially less accurate than in years before? Like 10%, 15%? Is it something? Can you quantify it like that?
You can quantify it. I don't know if I would give a number 10 to 10, 15%, but I'll tell you the numbers I came up with is that if you look at profit lost per player purchased, so in
this is Risk Box, Welsh.
These are Risk Box. I love it.
yeah. So in terms of projections in the past, it's hard to say this, but in the past, 2018, okay, if you drafted using projections, you would have lost on average 30 cents per dollar on people. Now, that always happens because waiver wire people jump up and become rosterable.
Yeah.
In 2021, it was $1.10.
Wow. So okay. So yeah, that's it. Okay. That you did a great job on that article. Yeah. Like really showing the
it's not a percentage in terms of 10% more accurate, but
and that's why I didn't know how to ask theory. It. Yeah. Right. But yeah. You did a perfect way of showing it. That's a dramatically big number for that. So I lean in again, and this is like these ATC is, you know, the best of them. And this is the best process of them. Do you expect to have a similar loss in dollar this past year with this type of volatility? Do you think projections are still susceptible to this type of volatility? Or do you think we did have a full season last year? It's okay. We should be, do you feel better now that you don't just have the most recent weighted season being a COVID year? Or do you think you're going to see a full rebound in projections, or do you think it's a slow incremental step back to getting to that 30 cents per lost dollar?
So I think that it is going to jump back in terms of the accuracy will improve greatly with the 2021 season going into your numbers. However, the utilization in baseball has changed. So like take saves. You don't have one closer on every single team and he's the guy. You have the Tampa Bay Rays who have 12 people saving games, including the left field foul person. The bullpen coach comes in to save a couple of games too.
At least.
So the baseball is different nowadays than it was a few years ago. You have people coming in for one out. Well, now they have the three batter rules, but if you're coming in as the last out of the inning, you know, you're there for one at bat and then you're done. You have pitcher changes all the time in baseball. You didn't have that back 5 years ago as much. So the game is changing, and it makes for a little bit more uncertainty because there's more volume of players and different situations are being handled. There isn't one straight. Pitcher pitches a game and complete game, and that's the end. So
is the game changing? Is that worse than the short year in terms of projections, or would you say it's about the same? Like what's the level of between those two?
I honestly think the game changing has a bigger influence than the COVID stuff. But, I think that projections, by and large, got it right. But the situation in baseball makes everything harder, and I think that is a bigger effect than just the fact that we had COVID. Hey, listen, ATC knows what it's doing, even with a small amount of information, which is really a testament to me. So,
do you see? I know you guys have all kind of baked in the DH. I think most everybody has baked in the DH to be a part of it. But do you think the advent of adding the DH is going to create another round of volatility? Like, we'll look at this next year and we'll be like, so we had the juice ball, we had the COVID season, we had the DH edition. Like, do you think projections are building in enough workload for enough of these players, or at the end of the day, you know, the DH is almost going to be like the next wave of waivers where you're going to be like, oh crap, you know, we did lose a lot of value because so many new players jumped in, not even from a waiver perspective, but because they were just getting more at bats.
No, to be honest, the big change of the DH is not having a couple of extra batters get some more at bats. Like, so Dom Smith will get 100 extra at bats. That doesn't really change much in terms of projections. You know, we project a couple more at bats and you get a little bit closer. The effect more is about pitchers' ERA. If you're a National League pitcher, all your numbers are now going to be much different relative to their AL counterpart. And that change is bigger because that affects every single pitcher, not just a couple of players throughout the league.
Okay, and that kind of makes sense too. I mean, projections with pitchers are always the wonkiest to me, especially because it is just, it's not a one for one, but you can almost literally, you want to like play a guessing game on what projections are going to have a pitcher's ERA are, you can do it the day the season ends by looking at their xFIP. You go and look at their xFIP.
Yeah,
and their it's almost a direct correlation. You know, it's not one for one, but it's a pretty close correlation to xFIP will be the projected ERA for said pitcher. So I think that's always flawed. And something I just don't, you know, that's something I don't put a lot of weight into necessarily, but that's really interesting because that maybe the lost money is going to be on pitchers this year, which makes it more volatile. So do you think that makes pitcher projections more or less, I guess we'd have to kind of tone maybe less accurate, or do you think even more based on the advent of the DH?
No, I think it's neither. I think it's just as accurate, but from a fantasy perspective, you're probably going to do better by picking the AL pitchers over the NL, because I don't think people will fully get in their heads, oh, yeah, the Mets, sure, it's pitcher's park, so definitely it's a good runner environment. Sure, pick a Mets pitcher, but that guy just gained, you know, 0.3 of an earned run from last year, whereas the AL guy didn't. And the AL guy now relatively compared to the NL guy gets better. And I think people have a hard time of, in their mind, making the switch. So there could be an opportunity for profit in fantasy because of the DH, and it's all from the pitchers, right? It seems counterintuitive.
Right,
everyone's like,
right.
I'm gonna take Wilson Contreras now because he's gonna have more at bats as a catcher. But actually, it, you're better off the bigger gains.
Well, I mean, what are there 15 hitters that get more at bats? There's way more than that, but a substantial amount of at bats is 15 guys. Now, like you said, now it's every day, every pitcher is facing another better batter. So, I mean, it does it does make sense if you sit and think about it. So
matters to all NL pitchers except Jacob DeGrom. Still doesn't matter.
Right,
he's out there. He's okay. I'll even take that little ad or run. Yeah. Are you out on? Oh, you're shaking your head. Are you out on Jacob DeGrom?
He's not. That's too many risk bucks. His arm's about to fall off, right?
Yeah. I mean, DeGrom is a binary risk. Like, if he's pitching, he's the greatest pitcher who's ever lived. If he's not pitching, then he's a zero. You know, if we were playing this game a million times over the years, I'd probably take the risk because maybe I'll hit once. But in a one short season, if I have all my money in one basket, I'm not taking that risk. And the interesting thing is, because I think it works differently in a home league than it does in an overall league or one of the high money leagues that people play with Jacob DeGrom. And Ron Chandler alluded to this when I spoke with him on my show, that, you know, if you're in a home league, DeGrom will actually be discounted a lot more. Like right now, he's going second round in the NFBC. He's going to go much lower because everyone's like, I don't want to take DeGrom. So maybe he'll slide to the fourth. In the NFBC, you could see people taking him in the first round, because what they'll do is they'll say, I'm going to play in 20 leagues and I'll take one share of DeGrom. And if I hit on that one, great, I'm going to win that league. And you know what's going to happen? In every single league, there'll be somebody who says, I'll take my share of DeGrom and I'll do that. And that's going to prop up his value much higher. So it's funny, but like the ADP of DeGrom, I think really is going to matter what kind of venue you play in.
I buy that. All right. On with the projections, Bog. Do you want this?
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, ballparks and stuff like that, what about ballpark factors? I know a lot has been made about the fence getting moved out in Camden. How much do projections take into account ballpark factors? Is it at all? And are they going to be added? And how about Baseball Savant? It seems like there's a new stat that is the big thing every single year. Are those factored in as well? What do we think about these moving ballparks recently? Like, there's new ballparks all over the place, and we have fences moving in and out, and humidifiers, all that stuff. How does all that drop into projections?
All right, so the ballpark factor is different than Savant stuff. The ballpark factor is I have a good answer here. First of all, projections should be taken into account ballpark factors, right? Generally, you want to project a player at a neutral park, and then you say, okay, this is what his skill level is neutral. What happens when he goes to Colorado? What happens when he goes to Miami? And then the numbers will go up or down depending upon, you know, if it's a good park or bad park. Every projection system should be taken to account of that. Question is, what do you do for a new ballpark? Either, you know, Baltimore changing their fences, or how about Toronto? They're now moving back to Rogers Center full-time. They were split over with Dunedin and, you know, everywhere last year. Yeah, so that affects it too. Different projection people are handling it very differently. The ones who are very into the physics are going to be taken into account. Like, I know Cardi is already, okay, well, I got to change the wall. I got to change the homers. That's going to work out. I spoke to Dan Zimborski, who does Zips, and he's like, well, I don't know how the new Orioles stadium is going to play, so I'm just not going to do anything right now. And let's see what happens. And you, in your mind, you know, just make an addition yourself, but I'm not touching the projections. Yeah, I mean, I can see both arguments of that. I'm more of the Cardi type of let's do the best guess we can to project. And, you know, if we're wrong, we'll adjust next year. You know, if you make a mistake, say you're sorry is better than not doing it at all. Right? But yeah, there's definitely things to do in terms of the Statcast stuff. Yeah. The more and more stuff comes out, if you're able to study it and you're able to use it as a predictive indicator and where it's significant on a regressed basis, then yeah, you're going to see improvements in projections so much so for every new factor.
And that's kind of where I was curious with this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Is do you think those additions, like a heavy weighted amount of those, will kind of generate the next wave of projections?
Well, I mean, for Cardi has actually done it for hitters. The difference between the bat X and the bat is literally Statcast.
Yeah, it just hasn't happened with pitchers. I think that's what
he has not done with pitchers, right. Yeah. And yes, it is a big thing. You know, Major League Baseball teams are certainly using all this stuff right now. They may even be on the next wave above that. We don't even know. But yeah,
it's like the military with technology. We're like, hey, we got these cell phones, and the military's playing around with UFOs. Like that's what that is. Like yeah. The teams have got the next wave. We haven't
that's
just
exactly
caught up
what yet. I was thinking of, by the way. Yeah,
of course you were. Of course, just like the military. Okay, so I'm always curious in where that next space is going to be and how that's going to be generated. I guess last one, and then pick your brain on a few players, and we're going to get to the picking apart projections. Was there anything you tweaked? I mean, it's a little tiny bit different to talk to you about this than maybe it would be Cardi, but you know, because you use like an aggregate system, but did you tweak anything? Was there anything to tweak this past year? I know we probably alluded to it and maybe you've kind of already answered it here and there. There's the weightedness of things, but what, if anything, was there any major additions or tweaks to ATC in 2022?
Yeah, no, there really wasn't much to my methodology. It stayed the same. Every year I rerun, what the numbers, what the weights should be between my projection systems. And we just update it. So I had to incorporate 2021 in some way or capacity, but I do that for every year that comes in. So
I know that's what I was like, look, if you're hitting homers, why adjust your swing? Right. I mean, come on.
Guess so. Yeah.
You like that old commercial. He's like Greg Maddux. He's like, chicks dig the long ball. That's what he's
have you guys seen Mark? Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I just
saw that commercial like yesterday, and I watched the whole
did you
thing
really?
For some reason. Yeah, no, no, I've seen it. Like
that's Heather Locklear.
I remember that commercial.
It's
one.
Heather Locklear.
But right. Someone just like posted it, and then I every time it's ever posted, I watch the whole thing. And you want to know what's funny? This might be a weird take. Is I watch it and I go, Glavin and Maddux, actually pretty good actors. Like. The
not
amount
bad,
of
yeah.
bad sports actors there are, like, they were pretty good. It had a very Ghostbuster-y type of vibe in how they were acting. I'm like, this is very solid. Like, it was good acting.
Better than David Ortiz in a SportsCenter commercial?
That's
is
exactly
that
what I'm talking about.
You know what? What I get from it is, like, if I saw Greg Maddux on the street, I would think he's an accountant. I would have known he's a ball player, you know?
Yeah, totally. You would think he's running track man for the team, not like pitching, you know, like nine innings.
Maybe he is. You never know.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, probably not. He's probably hanging out with, is he Heather Locklear? Probably still, he could pull Heather Locklear right now, right? Greg Maddux?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I think so.
Back then or now, probably not.
Right, yeah. I mean, guy's still a millionaire, you know.
All right, so this is going to be subjective stuff here. I'll start it off here. Ariel, you've put out the projections, you studied them, you know your stuff better than anybody. So this, you could take it either way you want. You can, it can be in your mind, or it could be based on the projections. You feed it how you want to. I will start off with Ariel's biggest bus, plural is allowed, bust for the year, whether it's just in your mind and what you've seen or what the projections spit out. So give us a Ariel ATC bust.
I'll give you a hitter and a pitcher. The hitter is Jazz Chisholm. Did I strike a note here?
Arizona guy, super hyped. No. We just did a player debates episode, and we all like Jazz. So
Jazz ran away with it too. But I'm interested to hear why he's a bust. Jazz, you know, a Javier Baez light.
Sure,
where he's just very volatile. Like, it's categorically, he's a guy that could put up 20/20 hitting 240. But he can also completely bottom out with bad plate discipline. And if he can't tap in, then you're screwed. So, all right, talk to us about Jazz.
Well, you just said my argument there. Oh. I mean, sure. Yeah, the guy has, I'd say, 25-30 upside. But the downside is half the season he spends in AAA, really. Like, he has a 30% strikeout rate, doesn't really have great plate discipline at all. And you know, he might have been a little bit lucky with some of the homers and the steals that he's done. This guy could just totally bust. And certainly, he's going in the fifth round of the NFBC. What? He should be going, according to the ATC projections, in the 11th round. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be touching Jazz Chisholm.
Wow, 11th? Was he ATC projections in the 11th round? ATC is
a lot of wrist bucks, Welsh.
Yeah, that's a lot of risk bucks. But I will say, almost like I said on the bottom line, ATC has him projected 21 homers, 23 stolen bases, but a .239 batting average.
That's really bad. And, you know, ATC this year has risk metrics that it gives. It's not just here what the projections are, but I also give how different are the underlying projections from each other. Like, I have, let's say, 10 projections underneath, and some for some players, they're pretty similar, and for some players, they're all over the place. They're all over the place for Jazz Chisholm. I mean, there's some people that are projecting him 15-15 and some that are projecting him 30-30. Like, the error bar here is so big with Jazz Chisholm. And he also, if he busts, there's a categorical risk here. Like, if you're counting on him for 25 steals and he's a bust, that really kills your
That's
category.
That's a great
balance.
Point, Ariel. That is a great point to make, that, you know, if you're investing in risky steals and that player doesn't work out, now those projections that you had, just even if it's in your own mind, like you said, if you're making a ranking list, you're making your own projections, right? So,
his 25 steals account for 25% of what you need, and he busts, you've just lost a quarter of your steals.
Correct. So
you need a discount to roster that risk. You need a discount for that categorical risk. Whereas if you have a guy who's 10 home runs, 10 steals, just an average number of RBIs, well, you're not counting on that guy for more than 10 steals. It's not that much of a risk to your portfolio. So that's what you have to worry about with Jazz Chisholm.
Okay, that's a good one. So what was the pitcher?
Pitcher, Sandy Alcantara.
It is coming out swinging. Yeah, I love it. Keep going.
Is there any theme here that you're a Mets fan and these are both Marlins? I just want to throw that out there, Ariel. Anything there? No, just of course not.
I don't hate on the Marlins. Marlins are beautiful. No, you know, and this one, I'm not in agreement with everybody on this. A lot of people love Sandy, and they have him as like a top eight pitcher going forward. Could win the
Cy
Young.
Our boy Nick Pollock loves him. Yeah.
Oh, God bless Nick. But you know, I here's a guy that, you know, ATC is okay-ish on him. It, you know, doesn't hate him, but you know, you look at his career numbers. His career ERA is 3.49, which is very good, obviously. But his FIP career is 4. His xFIP is 4.3. His Sierra is over 4.5. So he's a run different from what some of the underlying metrics say he should have been. His BABIP has been 270 for his career. Like, every single season, the dude has been lucky. And if you look at his swinging strike rate, for every year until last year, 10%, 10%, 10%, which is meh. This year, first half, 12%, second half, 15%. So really good second half. I don't want to base a third round player on a half a season of improvement where he's been lucky and meh for the previous years before then. So I just can't see myself buying into that he is definitely a top 10 guy. I think he is a top 25 guy, but I'm not going to pay for a top 10.
Yeah, that would have been fascinating info for that Lucas Giolito, Sandy Alcantara debate that was out there.
Is there
any,
real quick, is there anything to the improvement of a guy like Alcantara and anyone going from young to inching towards their prime? Obviously, you said the most recent season is way more taken into account. But is there anything like, you know, because he's 26 now, he's 25, 24, those previous years, is there anything to take from him, you know, going into his prime right now?
Yeah, no, definitely. He's on the right trajectory there. I mean, a lot of the stuff he improved on is he changed his repertoire slightly for the good. Like he's making the right improvements, and his trajectory is good. So that's all positive. And certainly, like last year, I didn't project him to be any good at all. But this year, I'm projecting to be one of the better ones, right?
Right, right. Top 25 is still top 25, absolutely.
Yeah, I think he's even more. I think, looking at my projections, he is the top number 16, the 16th best pitcher, according to ATC. So,
okay.
You know,
very, still
very
good.
Good.
Just not worth where he's going right now. I understand.
Exactly.
And an interesting ATC, because it's battling a lot of different ones. The bat is, I think, the least projected on Sandy. 12 wins, 12 losses, the lowest K per nine, which is barely over 8, and a 3.85 ERA, where ATC's got a projected 3.56 ERA because there's places like Zips, which are very high on them. So just he's an interesting case where Steamer and the bat kind of seem to be down. They have an almost 4 ERA with a sub, you know, 8.5 K per nine, which is not great, and, you know, not a great win loss record necessarily. So it is interesting, you know, that type of projections, and, you know, he's sitting inside the top 10, like, easy. People are making decisions like, you know, Sandy or Shane Bieber or Sandy or, you know, whatever it wants to be. Big decisions being made with him. All right, Boggs, you got the next one.
Yeah. I want to know the opposite end. Who are your biggest steals, Ariel? Because that is where we want to be buying. So let's hear them.
Yeah. And, you know, when I give a steal, I don't really give somebody who's nobody's ever heard of. And, wow, I think this guy's going to be super good. Like, I don't do those. I like to give people
good
who
market
I think
value. Yeah.
Good market value. Right. And that's the way you win leagues. You just pick, you win three rounds on every player, you win the whole thing. Charlie Blackmon to me is one of the big, he's the biggest outfield bargain in this whole thing. And outfield is a great place to mine bargains. He's going in the 16th round, but he should be going a lot higher. I mean, that batting average has been so super stable over his career. I mean, his batted season's over 320. Obviously he's older, so his trajectory is downward, but he's still, if he bats, he's going to still bat in the middle of the lineup, and he's going to accumulate those counting stats. The run production of having 70-plus RBIs and runs, that is, I mean, it's 40% of your offensive output in a rotisserie league. Steals, sure, don't count on him. I have him for 3. Homers, sure, don't count on him. I have him for 16. So I'm not counting on him for much, but when you do the evaluation of what he's worth a lot more than his place is. And old vets are a great place to mine for profit, so I'll take a $7 discount on an old vet who – and if he's in Colorado still, oh boy. I mean, that's juicy to me.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I've
Yeah, the Welsh has talked about Charlie Blackmon a couple times on the mocks because he's like, man, nobody wants Blackmon. Did he go undrafted in one of our mocks?
I think he did. I just have this battle where I look and it's like, you know, you're in like the 250s and you're just like, nobody cares at all. Like Charlie Blackmon is your fifth outfielder. It seems like there's just solid upside in there.
I mean, what did he do last year? Oh, what a crappy 270, 78 RBI season. Like he was a $13 player last year. Now he's going for the equivalent of $3. I mean,
right.
Like no, he was a $40 player for a good stretch. I mean, he's incredible player. The other guy I'll say, Franmil Reyes. I think people believe in this DH. Oh, you don't want to block the utility spot. And I buy that argument for like a dollar or a round or two. But no, he's getting way too much of a discount. He is a 35-homer guy legit. I mean, he's hit 37 homers before. He hit 30 homers this year and only 418 at-bats. And I actually don't believe the ATC projections on the batting average. ATC has 255 for him. I actually think there's way more upside. He takes walks. His batting eye is pretty good. He hits the ball really hard. That hard contact rate is great. He's hit over 275 two out of the four seasons he's played. I kind of think that he's closer to like a 265 guy with 275 upside. So we're talking about a 35-homer, 265-ish guy with 90-plus RBIs. I mean, that should not be a 10th-round player. I think you're getting a big discount getting Reyes all the way there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
There you go, friends. Hour two, almost in the books there. That was Ario Cohen. That was a lot of our interview. So, you know, coming in and out of segments, you were hearing us there. You can check out the rest over at the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast if you want to listen to the entire interview. I believe we had about an hour and a half with Ariel going through a lot of stuff. So it's extended if you want to go check that out and get all of our interviews. Plus, we had a brand new mock draft, a points mock draft. So we now have a Roto, a head-to-head, a dynasty, and a points mock draft on our podcast feed, which is pretty, pretty cool. We got Bubba coming up in hour three. Bogman, I meant to ask you, are you going to watch the Pro Bowl this weekend?
No.
No? Are they doing something different? Are they not playing?
Actually, tonight... They're doing the skills competition thing, the dodgeball and the all like that kind of stuff.
Dodgeball.
That's happening on Thursday night. That happened on Thursday night. Yeah, they've done dodgeball for a couple of years.
They don't do that sand football anymore.
No, not after Robert Edwards. Don't do that. Yeah, I mean, that's a long time ago. But yeah, they stopped that right after Robert Edwards completely tore everything in his leg.
Boy Debo's out there. I'm kind of tempted to watch like if he's going to be involved in the skills, if Debo's going to be there. But
I mean, that stuff is way more interesting than the game, but I think it's on at the exact same time the Shrine Bowl is. So,
you know what?
I'm watching the Shrine Bowl.
I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl, but I might watch the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I might watch the Pro Bowl this year. That's how everybody does it, right? They watch
the Niners are there, not the Super Bowl.
So.
Yeah, the Niners are there. I think I might, you know what? I might even bet the Pro Bowl. I bet I can, right? Can you bet the Pro Bowl?
Absolutely. I'm sure you can bet the Pro Bowl. There's no doubt in my mind you can.
Yeah, so the next 2 weeks, my football investment is probably going to be skills competition.
Probably the hardest thing to make odds for, by the way.
The Pro Bowl. Oh, yeah, yeah. You just set the over at like 50
a million
or something.
Right, yeah. You set it at a million, and then you whatever, AFC by three. And then the next year, it's NFC by three, right? Those are the lines that you put in there because who cares? Nobody knows. It's stupid.
It was a weird thing where like Debo had a kid and he's like, his article is like, he hasn't seen him in a month and he's going to have to wait a couple more days because he's going to the Pro Bowl. And I was like, why is Debo like, I'll go see my kid over the Pro Bowl. But I don't know, maybe he's making some extra money.
Make a check, you probably pay for most of your kid's college with that Pro Bowl check. So.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys want my take, so you're not going to get my Super Bowl take because I'm not watching it, but I will watch the Pro Bowl this coming weekend. Don't go anywhere. Hour three is coming up. I'm out of here, though. It is Bubba Bogman, hour three. Wander Franco talking more, so don't go anywhere. And this league will roll back.